Now we're going to have two readings, would you believe? Only two, because I'm going to try and keep an eye on the time. Is it still saying half past ten? Right. Somebody's put it right. Well done! Because last week it was anywhere. So, first of all, from Revelation, and Emily's going to read that kindly for you, and it's from Revelation 22 and the first five verses.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there any more, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Thank you, Emily. And now, from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verses 9 to 17. Thank you, Hannah.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
How often do you think about the fact that this world has never known a single day of complete peace since the Second World War, ever? There has always been war somewhere. That may be true before then, I'm not certain of that, but I know it's been true since then. There has always, what are we about? What are human beings like? Everywhere you look, we seem to prefer war to peace, don't we? It's just insane. And every so often, we try to not think about it, if we're honest with ourselves, because if you spend your whole life thinking about war and the pain of war, you'd go under, wouldn't you? And yet that's what we live with. In today's world, we live with it closer because it's on the television, it's on the media, it's on, you know. 50 years ago, you didn't know so much. We can't pretend not to know anymore. We just, if we're in a bad way, we just close our eyes, don't we? We have gathered partly this morning to remember. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking it's about only remembering those who died. No, it isn't. Of course we remember those who died. We remember those who suffered. But we need to remember all those who are damaged by war. Physical hurt, mental hurt, spiritual hurt, How do you come back from a war, if you do come back at all, and lead what other people call a normal life? How do you manage when you remember how it was? When you remember friends who've died, when you remember others who were hurt, when you remember what you've had to do as part of that war? How do you survive that? We're not good at looking after people who've been through war, are we? We would rather forget. And that's understandable, and I'm not blaming anybody, but it goes on. And then there are the people who carry within them the hurt and the pain, not just the mental hurt, not just the spiritual damage, but the pain of the suffering that they and others went through. There are the children who have grown up knowing only violence, who go to bed every night not safe and secure and knowing they're loved, but wondering when they're going to be killed. There are the women who, as part of war, are raped over and over again. There are the men who are tortured because they won't do what they're told to do, or because they do what they're told to do. Either way, they can't win. There is so much pain and suffering and agony. And if we sat and looked at it for any length of time, we would weep because of the pain. And then there are those who carry disease. Do you know there are still children born who carry disease because we dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Still. That's what it meant when somewhere in Scripture it says the sins of the fathers will be visited on the children. It doesn't mean they're going to be punished. It means that that's what the consequences are like. And we suffer with them if we care at all. So we remember those who made huge sacrifices, but we remember those who are still being sacrificed because of humanity's willingness to try and solve problems with violence only. And the problem with all of that, I could spend the entire time doing that and we'd all feel immensely down. And the trouble is you lose hope, don't you? You end up thinking, what can I do? Nothing. Where can I go? Nowhere. And hope becomes very difficult to hang on to. And so we turn to Scripture and we look at what it says. And we do it best at a time like this if we are prepared to stand at the foot of the cross and to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." The night before his own torture and death, he said, "This is my commandment." So he's not talking about feelings. Most human beings can't command their feelings. They happen, don't they? Whether it's love or anger, it happens. And our decision then is what we do with it, not that we've commanded the emotion to arise. But he said, "I command you." So it's a decision we're being told to make, a decision to act with love. If the world's leaders would learn that love is more powerful than violence, can you imagine what the world would be like? We are invited by the living God to love. And that is how we become that lovely, lovely image in Revelation, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. We talk about the tree of life. Jesus talked about the vine. We are invited to be part of God so that we can be the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. That means we have to make a decision every moment of every day to seek to do the loving thing. And that's hard. It's so hard. Because it means loving not only those that we get on with, or even those we don't like particularly, but we manage. It means loving those we don't like. It means loving those that we think are stupid, foolish, annoying, irritating, even evil. Even evil. It means being willing to reach out in love to every person we meet, in every place, at every time, and being willing to pray in love for those we don't meet and don't know and would really rather not care about, because we are required by the living God to care. We are invited to accept the command to love. And that goes on being difficult, which is why we have to do it from within the community and from the foot of the cross. Some people look at the command to love one another and think it means just us. You know, the people we live with, the people we worship with, the people we have fellowship with, we can make it just us. No, it's not. It is not a holy huddle of us just loving each other. It's in order to be made strong enough by the love of others and the love of the living God through others to turn to face outward and love others. Love the alien, love the stranger, love the enemy, love all people. And we can only do that if we know we're loved ourselves. There is no strength in us to love other people unless we know we are loved ourselves. Duty isn't strong enough, guilt isn't strong enough, nothing is strong enough to enable us to love except God, and God's love through others and directly. So when it says love one another, this loving community of which we are proud to be a part is designed so that we can strengthen each other to love outside, to love other people, to go out and care for all in need everywhere, and even for those whose needs we cannot see. There are times when we are tempted, or at least, no, let's be honest with you, brothers and sisters in Christ, there are times when I am tempted to think that those who are wealthy need less love than those who are poor. It's not true. Of course it's not true. We all need to be loved. We all need to know we are loved. We all need the strength of being loved before we can live fully. And that's what God offers us in our fellowship, to be loved enough to go out and love other people. We may feel as though that doesn't change very much, but believe me, it does. If we are willing to love the first stranger we meet, that doesn't mean going up and hugging them. Don't think that for a minute. We'll find ourselves in all sorts of difficulties if we do that. But it does mean remembering, oh, it's easier to demonstrate it with driving. You know, when that idiot drives in front of you and makes you nearly have an accident, can you get yourself to think maybe they're anxious? Maybe they've got someone dying in hospital? Maybe. To look for the best motive, not the worst one. It's little loving things like that for strangers, for anyone you meet. And if we do that, love is catching. Did you know that? Yeah. If you walk down the street and you see somebody you don't know at all and you smile, most times they actually smile back. Sometimes they look at you as though you're completely insane, but mostly they smile back. If we go out to be loving, love will spread. We can't change the world. We can't often change major decisions of governments, and there are lots of things we can't do, but we can go on spreading love. We can go on being love. We can become, for those around us, the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. And it may only go a little way, but it will eventually make a difference. And because we can be loving, we can hold on to hope. Hope becomes possible because God loves us and we love others. And if we hold on to hope, we're not going to sing it this morning, though we did discuss it, but there is a hymn that says, "Will you watch the news with the eyes of faith and believe it could be different?" And that belief will flow out from us to others in our world. So we simply pray that we will learn from the living God to obey that command, to love one another, and therefore to love all people everywhere, even those we would find it easiest not to.